Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 1, we were taught that the destruction of the crops by the locusts was an example of God's mercy and grace. He could have destroyed the people. So let us continue with that thought today. Let's look at verse 16 then with that thought in mind. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. God's house with no joy, God's house with no gladness. The complete devastation of the locusts, of the crops, of the land, was a chastening and judgment of God that they might turn back to Him. Oh, that was God's mercy and grace. He could have destroyed all of them instead. But instead He destroyed the crops, hoping they would turn back to Him. And so the Lord has directed the way to make things right with Him. And so the priests and the pastors and the elders and all the people needed to humble themselves, fast, seek God's face. And this command reminds me of something said to Israel in 2 Chronicles 7:14. All you hear, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and you humble yourself, you're saying, I deserve God's judgment as a Christian in my life. That's right, as a Christian. Boy, I get so occupied. People have TV, they've got Facebook, they've got some sports and so many other things. But, you know, they don't have time to sing in the choir. They spend hours in these pleasures of life, calling themselves Christians, but they can't sing in the choir. They can't work on a bus route. They can't get involved in the various ministries of the church unless it's just something they want to do. It makes them feel good. They won't get involved because it interferes with their times. They need to humble themselves, realize, hey, I am filthy for that kind of an attitude. They need to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face. Get to know Him so well that His voice is familiar to your heart as your spouse's voice is to your ear. But He says, and turn from their wicked ways. My friend, it may not be wicked to me, it may not be wicked to you, but when things keep us from doing God's work because we enjoy those pleasures, it's wicked. It's wicked when churches are closing their doors on Sunday night, and then Wednesday night is not really as much a Bible study and prayer time as it is a time of practical life. How to get along in your marriage. How to make your children happy. Some of them even have hunting classes and things like that. Oh, my friend. What a desecration of the worship of God. So church, they didn't have church on Sunday because the people of the church went out and cleaned up a roadside, cleaned up a neighborhood, and they went through and picked up trash and things of that nature. All their wonderful work for the Lord and helping their fellow man. Why didn't you do that on Saturday? Why didn't you call another time besides Sunday? Why not do that? You see, that is just plain show, and that is plain wickedness. And God says, until you actually, till you actually humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked way, till you do that, he says, then, he's not going to do it before then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, verses 13 and 14 here of this chapter, chapter 1 of Joel, had commanded them to do it. And we see it is time to get right with God by turning from wicked ways and their sin if they want to see their land healed. Now, please understand, for the people of God, when hard justness hits, it is coming from the heart of God's love that seeks restored fellowship with us, which can only be accomplished on holy ground. Yes, let me tell you something, rock and roll, psychology, and a host of other things will grow a church in numbers, but it will not grow it in spirit. Will not grow it in the Lord. And when judgment comes, when God's chastening comes on a church and on a country, that rock and roll corrupted worship will not stand in that day. Well, verse 15 had jumped ahead in time to the end days and referred to the day of the Lord, which begins with the rapture, followed by the tribulation and the judgment of nations and the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, from which Jesus will rule from that Jewish throne in Jerusalem with the people of Israel restored and back there once again. That's followed by the white throne judgments we spoke of just a little bit ago. But now, as we look here in verse 16, please don't miss the doctrine of the justness of God in all of this. Now, we need to see God's chastening work in three ways. First, there's the chastening of the Christian or the saved individual. Sometimes I like to say saved instead of Christian because Christian means Christ-like, and there's a lot of saved people that simply are not Christ-like. And let me tell you something. I'm not preaching as a preacher who has no problems, no sin, and no failure. I feel like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25, when he says, the bad that I would do that I wouldn't do, I end up doing, and then the good that I would do, I end up not doing. And so he says, oh, wretched man that I am. And my friend, it just seems like the older I get, the more I see that in myself. So, God's chastening worked in three ways there. There was physical disaster. And sometimes that must happen because it's the only way God can get a person's attention. And what a shame that when God has to do that to get our attention. The crops were fully ripe. They were ready to be harvested. The people of Israel were fully rejoicing at the prospect of a bountiful harvest. And to their astonishment, oh my goodness, the worst happened. All is destroyed. We're reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, where we're told, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Don't be in such darkness that you cannot see the judgment hand of God coming on this earth. And to the Christian immersed in the world, judgment is coming. The people of Judah might have thought it was unjust after they had labored so hard, and at the moment they expect to bring it in, it is destroyed. But do you remember Jesus' parable about the rich man building new barns? Only after they are built to have his soul that same night required of him. And God asked, and whose shall those things be? Whose will they be then that he laid up for himself? God is just. Let this principle, if you're a Christian, sink down into your very being. It is a righteous thing that sin should be punished, and in a manner that will most likely restrain it in the future. Now, if you didn't get all of that, let me repeat it, because this is important. I really want you to get this principle down if you're saved. It is a righteous thing that sin should be punished, and in a manner that will most likely restrain it in the future. And that's why God brings chastening in the Christian life and even judgment to a nation. Remember, Proverbs 14:34 says sin is a reproach to any people. God will judge all nations that forget him. Most often God destroys that upon which our hearts are set, that are more of the world instead of being of him. See, that's what takes us from him into worldliness. And yet, trying to make it religious to salve our minds of the conviction. In Jeremiah chapter 44, Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, had told a remnant not to leave Jerusalem to go to Egypt. And he told them how the Lord had judged them for their sins, and Jerusalem was in the way that it was. If they left now, they'd face a judgment that was even worse because their progeny would never come back into the land. Well, they'd asked Jeremiah to seek God's wisdom. He did, and that's what he told them. Then they didn't like what he had to say. They go down into Egypt anyway, where they will die. And they made Jeremiah go with them.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
His truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on